Hello everyone and welcome to this episode of The Answer Podcast. Today we are joined by Amy Jamieson. How are you, Amy? You okay?
I'm doing very good. And how about you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. So if we get a little start off, just tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from, what you do.
Yes, I'm from Galveston, Texas. I was raised as a strict Irish Catholic growing up, went through catechism all my life, always believed in Jesus, God, and the angels and the afterlife. Never quite really believed in a hell because I never went there when I had my near-death experience. But anyway, I'm one of five kids. Because that happened to me at the age of 23, I was ridiculed all my life by my entire family until one of them saw a spirit in their garage and decided to say, okay, you're correct. I believe you now. Anyway, right now, this journey led me to a college in my early 60s where I became a life coach, a hypnotherapist, a non-denominational ordained minister, and a published author about my book. It also helped turn my life around to help me learn how to release negative trauma, drama, and negativity, anything that happened with that over my lifespan, which I did. I'm still human. I still make mistakes like everybody else. I'm no better than you and you're no better than me. That's my belief. And I used to be very religious and now I'm more spiritual than realist, religious. And I will tell you now about my near-death experience. So I was married at the age of 23 and I was working as a dental assistant in the dental office. And I, as an assistant, had on a mask and gloves and I was turning around coughing constantly for a couple of weeks. I had what I thought was a bad cold. A couple of weeks later, I drove home and my left arm felt very heavy. So I didn't know what was going on, but I got home quickly, did a few loads of laundry, dinner, and clean the house. And then at that time I was a smoker. So I sat down to have a cigarette. And when I did, I could hardly breathe. So it got to the point so bad that I had to put the cigarette out and down and not pick it up again. And I turned to my spouse who did not believe in any afterlife and he did not believe me and he's not deals with medical stuff. So I said, I can't breathe. Will you please take me to the hospital or call me an ambulance? Oh, no, there's nothing wrong with you. You are hypochondriac and you just think something's wrong with you. I said, please, I really can hardly breathe. And he kept saying no. So I got up, got on the telephone and called the local hospital where we lived and talked to the doctor on call in the emergency room. The doctor on call said, is anyone there with you? I said, yes, my husband. He said, put him on the phone. So he went to the phone, raised his eyes, opened real wide and slammed the phone down. And I said, what did he say? He said that he could tell from speaking to you on the phone that you were struggling very much to try to breathe and that I better get you to the hospital. If you die on the way or once you get there, then I'm being held responsible. I said, great, let's go. So we went and they diagnosed and x-rayed me and said that I had walking pneumonia, pleurisy, which is fluid in the lung, and collapsed lung. So I was going to have a chest tube insertion just to breathe. So they got me all prepped and in the operating room on the table and they numbed the outside of the skin and started the chest tube insertion. And once that happened, everything went black for me. I didn't know what was going on. I wasn't particularly scared, but I just didn't know why I couldn't see anything. So after a couple of minutes of that, I see a tiny white light at the bottom of my feet. I started like a spiraling rotation. Best way I can describe it as I understand it, how it happened to me, and I don't know how it's possible, but it did, is that I was a miniature version of myself traveling through from my head to my feet in my own body. Once I got to the heart level, I saw a tall, dark 6 or 7 foot man, unrecognizable, kind of dressed like a mummy with his arms reached out. Well, I didn't know who he was and how he got in there, but I steered around him and went out to the bottom of my feet. Once I got out of my feet, I'm up in the ceiling in the operating room and the nurses are saying to each other, oh, it's such a shame. She was so young and pretty and she just died. And the doctor said time of death and he was calling the time of death. And my spouse was in the corner crying, not because he loved or missed me, but because he knew he was going to jail. So at the next moment, I turn around. And when I turn around again, this time I feel like I'm about a couple of feet off the ground and I'm standing in clouds. And I look to my left and I see two angels. One was a little girl of about 8 years old with long blonde hair, a white robe and wings on her back. Then on her shoulder, on the opposite side of her, was a baby angel with diapers and tiny wings, and he was curly red hair. He was just, you know, flying around, laughing and playing with her. And then I looked to my right. When I looked to my right, I saw three relatives who probably passed in their 70s to 90s, and they looked about late 30s, early 40s. So I recognized them and went towards them. There was a golden light beyond them that I was trying to get to after I said my hellos to them. But all of a sudden, I'm whisked in front of the center of myself, I guess I would say, and it's Jesus. The picture I saw of Jesus growing up, the Catholic religious spiritual Jesus as I knew him, and he had the long brown hair, the blue eyes, the white robe, the sandals, and really beautiful crystal clear eyes. He was speaking to me and I was speaking to him, but we were not moving our lips at all. He said, "This is not your time to be here. You're not supposed to be here yet." And he raised his arm, and when he lowered his arm down, I was back in my body under a sheet blowing on it, and the minister was still on my right giving me the last rites. So he saw the sheet move and pulled it down and said, "My child, you've had a miracle. Will you tell me what happened?" I said, "Yeah, I guess so, but I don't really want to, and I'm really mad." He goes, "Well, why are you mad?" I said, "Because I was very, very happy there in heaven, which is where I believed I was, and I didn't want to come back." And then shortly after that time, there was a dark entity that kept bothering me and my husband. What would happen would be we'd be sound asleep at night, and he would wake up two or three times in the night yelling, "Quit pulling on my feet." And I would say, "You're dreaming. You're having a nightmare, because I'm not pulling on your feet and there's nobody here but us." And then the next day he went out to do some landscaping in the property, and I was there taking a nap in the middle of the afternoon by myself. All of a sudden, I feel very strong hands on both of my legs, crossing my legs and jerking me from the top of the bed off the end of the bed into the floor. Of course, I jumped up, not knowing what had just happened to me. Looking around, I didn't see anybody, but I sure felt the person, because the next time I lay down again, this person was running a hand up my leg towards my private area, and I didn't know what was going on. Finally, the third incident was where this person was like hovering over my body, like in a black ghostly version of that person's self, whoever that was, that dark entity. And I could see him like floating above me. And my husband woke up at that moment, and he said, "I see something above your body. What's going on?" And I said, "Well, it's something trying to get in my body. I feel it. It's trying to suck my air out of me." So we held hands, we prayed real loud, and we sent it off out of the home. We said, "You're not allowed to be here. I believe in Jesus." And it left. What I didn't know at that time was that whoever's in that home, they have to do that with you. My daughter and granddaughter lived there at that time. So it went from me to my daughter, and tried several things with her as well. It took 5 years to learn how to get rid of that entity, because I sure tried really hard. And I did saging. I did bishop blessings, regular priest blessings. I did all kinds of things. And finally, it was the yelling of the praying that got it away. And then shortly after that time, I started seeing future visions of things happening in the future to my sister and niece and very immediate close family members and a couple of friends. It was like a movie trailer where I would have, to me, it was like a movie trailer nightmare. I'd see the beginning, the middle, and the end, and my version. And I didn't know what to do with that. I don't even know how long it took me to decide, but I decided, okay, these would repeat every night until I told the person. When I told the person involved, I didn't have it anymore. I didn't have that vision anymore. But it would happen anywhere from 2 days to 2 months later, and it would happen every time in my version of what I saw, but not necessarily in detail of what they experienced. And of course, my sister, still being raised Catholic and not having an experience like that, said to me, "You're of the devil. You're in the dark side. You're making stuff up just for attention. And I don't believe you." Oh, yeah, it happened. Not like you said, though. It happened like I'm going to tell you, but it happened. I went, "Yes, I told you. I see it a different way, but it happened and you're okay." That to me was the whole point. I became a messenger. So that is what I am. I do card readings and all of the other modalities I was speaking of earlier, the hypnotherapy, life coaching, and ministry. you know, that's what happened to me in my near-death experience.
That's all pretty surreal, isn't it? Like, like when you go from how quick you went from being poorly to going to hospital and then just having all of that.
Yes, it happened very quickly as far as once the lungs started collapsing. And at that point, I didn't know what was going on. I just felt like something was happening bad. And it was a little scary at first, but I was so full of bliss and happiness and no attachment to negativity, trauma, or drama. When my soul left my body, that was it. I could see it and I go, oh, I'm down there. And then I look at myself and I go, oh, well, I'm here too, but I'm a ghostlier vision of myself, I guess I'd say. And I still felt like me. And then I saw and heard everything everyone said in the room. So,
yeah, I was about to ask that. Did you ever say anything to any of the doctors or anything? Like, I could hear what you were saying, because I've seen a lot of people that have actually told their doctors and they just can't believe it.
I did say that when I came back into my body after the priest was in there. The nurses came back in and the doctor too. And I told them, I saw you say and do this. And they go, well, we did say and do that. I go, well, I was dead. You were calling the time of death. He goes, you're not dead. And so it's like, he was like my sister. It's like, okay, it happened. Yes, I called your time of death, but we don't have that on record. In other words, they wouldn't document it down because I'm alive again. So they couldn't put it down for, I guess, liability issues. They decided to not mention it.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I've seen a lot of stuff about stuff like that. And then they try to wave it off.
Right.
In a way, I don't really understand why. It's like they're just afraid to admit it.
Yes. Well, I don't know how would it look on records if you put the person died and then they woke back up again. I've never really asked anybody else that question in particular. I've asked them about all their experiences over the last 44 years. I've met so many different people who have had an experience of some kind, some up to an hour and a half, some up to 3 hours. Mine was only 3 minutes, but to me, there was no time there. It was like, felt like an eternity, even though it wasn't.
So how long did it actually feel like you were there for then? In my opinion,
it felt like months to me, like a few months. I don't know exactly, like I'm saying, but it just felt like I'd been there a very long time. And I don't know how that was, but that's what I felt.
And then so you get to the moment where you're floating over your body.
Right.
And you can see everything. And then suddenly you just go into like another dimension.
Yes, it's like I turned around and I was standing in clouds a few feet off the ground. And to me, that was heaven because I saw angels, relatives, and Jesus. So to me, that was the way I was shown heaven. It is my personal belief that I believe after 40 some odd years of talking to people that what happens is you're going to be shown the creator in whatever form you were taught in your life. Let's say you were Mormon or you were Jehovah's Witness or you were Baptist or whatever religion you are, you're going to believe a little different and you're going to see different when you go, because Jesus has to relate to everybody and we're all different. So you could be a different nationality, you could be Hindu and you could see one of their gods, but I believe it's the same God. He just has to connect in different ways, because how boring would it be if he did it with everybody the same way and we're all different religions, we'd all be fighting with each other all the time saying, oh no, mine's better, that's the real God, this one's better. And you know, that's been done over the years. Catholics have proclaimed that their religion is the only religion and that they're right, and that's not true. So
yeah, I understand what you mean, because I've said this to people before, and I think that's the sort of one that I feel makes more sense.
Exactly.
In a way, that's like, it is just what sort of what you believe.
Right.
If you get what I mean.
I had an even more profound, in my opinion, experience about 10, 12 years later at a church. I will call that the visiting minister. So I was human. I still am. I was drinking and smoking and just a partying with my husband up till about 2 a.m. And I was awakened at about 3 or 4 a.m. And at that time, a loud voice and a very strong hand pushed me out of the bed saying, get up, get dressed and go to the 8 o'clock service of the church you've been driving by. I would drive by this one church every day to work and back, but I didn't know what kind of service it was or anything about it. So I got dressed. I went, you know, I looked around the room. There's no one in there but me and my husband, who's sound asleep. So I'm like, he didn't do it. He wasn't awake. So I got ready and I went like I was told. I sat a few rows from the front at the church. They got up and started singing songs. They had a big screen in the front, more than one. And then they started raising their hands to pray. I'm not used to any of that, but I did it and I felt okay with it. Then we sat down. And when I sat down, the minister came out and said, normally right now I would have a little sermon that I would do. However, we have a visiting minister here from Dallas, Texas, and he has a message that he was given on the plane here and he needs to tell the person. I'm like, I'm wondering if that's me, is what I'm saying. I'm like, oh, no way. So he gets up there and he says, I have a message I was given on the plane here. I saw Jesus's face in the window, and then I saw the face of this young lady I'm supposed to give a message to. As I look around the room, I see that you're here. I want to point you out. And he points towards me. He said, you, the blonde in the blue flowered dress. Well, I had on a blue flowered dress and long blonde hair, but I turned around looking too. Anybody else look like that? Nope. I turned around again. I go, me? He goes, yes. So I walked up there and he said, do you know me? I said, I've never met you before in my life. Why are you here today? I said, I'm not really sure. I guess you're going to tell me, because I've never been to this church. I was raised Catholic and I hadn't been to church in many years. So he says, Jesus gave me a message to tell you. He said, the kidnapping of your children and the last 6 years of all the horrific stuff that has happened to you has been the work of the devil. And he wants you to remember to keep the faith and everything's going to be okay. I'm like, wow, that was amazing, because I didn't know anybody there and I didn't tell anybody there. My kids were kidnapped twice and all the stuff that happened. So that had to be God that told me that message. To me, that was even more profound because it was right here on earth at a church that I'd never went to. And people were coming up to me afterwards saying, you are so lucky that you got that message. I go, well, yeah, because I was about to give up because my kids were kidnapped twice and bad things were happening. And I just couldn't understand why.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's mental. So if you don't mind, if we can come back to that story, if that's all right with you.
Whatever you'd like to talk about.
But I think first we'll go back to something that probably the listeners would want to hear about. If you could like give us a description of what it was like, your heaven was like to you, like, that'd be great. Because obviously you saw the two angels and
I saw the two angels, relatives, and Jesus. My heaven was, I had absolutely no attachment to anyone that I was looking at in the physical world, meaning the doctors, nurse, and my spouse. It was like I felt nothing but love and peace and calmness looking at him. It's like, well, my spouse was crying because he was going to jail, but I'm just like, oh, I love you. And I'm thinking and saying that to everyone I saw. And when I went to heaven, it was just like the most peaceful, calmest. It's so hard to describe because you just can't even imagine until you're there how really fantastic that it is. Let's say you had a fight with someone the night before and you said some horrible things and then they die and they left you with it on your shoulders and you couldn't say, I'm sorry and I never should have said that. But when your soul leaves your body, there is none of that. That person would just be looking at you with love, kindness, and happiness and feeling so great. They would love you. There is no regret, negativity, trauma, drama.
And Jesus, what was Jesus like for you then?
Oh, he looked exactly like the picture in the Catholic religion where he had long light brown wavy hair. Crystal blue eyes, so pretty the eyes, and wearing a white robe and sandals. So to me, that's who I saw. But like I said, I personally believe that we're going to see whoever we've been taught to believe is our creator growing up so that he can connect with everyone, you know?
Yeah. And he obviously said to you, it's not your time yet. Did he give you any other messages?
Nope, that was it. But I was only there 3 minutes. That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And then obviously if we go back a little bit as well. Your kids got kidnapped.
Oh yes. They got kidnapped twice by their, my mother and father-in-law and their dad. The first time they were only 1.5 and 2.5. And that was for 6 months. And the second time they were 8 and 9 and that was for 8 years. And I went to the court, and that was in California and I was in Texas. So the judge said, in my court, you have to have two attorneys, one from Texas and one from California. And I said, sir, I'm working two and three jobs just to make ends meet, to pay for my kids' round trip to see them every year. I don't have any kind of money like that. And they told me it would be $10,000 minimum per attorney. I go, I can't. He goes, well, then you have to accept whatever I tell you in the court today. I went, okay. So he gave me back the visitations of them, but he took my managing custody and gave it to my spouse because he had taken them and put them in a school district and established residency. So once he did that, he got to keep them. So I saw them once a year or twice a year every year for a few years before finally at 18, my daughter came back and my son came back. Yeah.
Wow.
It was a long time. I was very unhappy during that time. I was not.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
What sort of got you through it?
I'm sorry?
What sort of like helped you through that? Like sort of.
Oh, gosh. What helped
was it like me your through faith?
That? Actually, my faith helped, but I was angry because I couldn't imagine why God or Jesus would do that to me. And I was blaming them. And, you know, so then I started the drinking a little bit on the weekends and smoking pot like I had done growing up in the past. You know, I came from a very dysfunctional alcoholic and drug infused family. So that is what helped me get through. But more than anything, what I did to get through, and that was not the right thing to do, was to scream and holler and demand my way wherever I went. I was just so angry.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Yeah.
And then also, like you say about your family and stuff, you said they were quite a strong Irish Catholic family.
Yeah, my
well, I know coming from the UK that Irish Catholics are very strict.
Oh, yes. I have a lot of Irish and Scottish and Wales in me. So, I mean, I guessed from an early age of about 5 years old that father was not my father. And because he had said and done things to me and my older brother, turns out there were three baby daddies in the family with us five kids. And my youngest brother and I were the only 100% sibling match. So we had the same father. And I finally found out about him through Ancestry.com about 3 months after he passed. And I met two of my sisters and just talked to a third one. So it's been such a journey, such a journey. I'm still human. I still have a lot of bad things going on off and on right now. I may or may not have possibly have lung cancer, and I quit smoking in 92. But I mean, so I'm dealing with that and many other things. So I just lost my great grandbaby in the end of March, and she just died in her sleep with the mucus plug and collapsed lung, ironically, on the same day that I did when I was 23.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I'm so sorry to hear about that.
Well, me too. It's very difficult. It was my only great grandchild. So it's like my granddaughter lived with me, and we're just like working through the trauma and the grief, you know?
Yeah. And did you say that you might have cancer?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Is that being diagnosed as well?
I will have the bronchial scope tomorrow morning. And at that time, they're going to hope that they're going to be able to flush out some of the 25 so nodules they see in there. And if not, they're going to biopsy in there through needle biopsy. And then I'll find out when they get the results. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, life goes on and we have to deal with so many different traumas. I'll call them storms in our life. I think it's what makes us stronger. I will say, I don't know how many of those storms are from Jesus, and I don't know how many are from our bad choices. But I will tell you that I personally believe when we make a bad choice and we hang with the wrong people and do the wrong things, that our hell is right here on earth from the choices that we made.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that.
Right.
I say it to one of my friends all the time. I say that I feel like earth is the hell.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I have talked to a couple of people though at events that I've done where one of the girls was a member of the Bloods in California, and she came up to me because I was talking about the dark entity in my booth, and she goes, "I want to talk to you about something." She goes, "Can I tell you something confidential?" I said, "Sure." Well, I'm not telling you her name, so that's okay. So she said, "I had a bad experience. I did something really, really bad, and I had a dark journey at first." I said, "Are you like of a gang member?" She said, "Yes." So she goes, I killed people. I said, I know. You don't even have to continue telling me that. I know what you're saying when you say it. She goes, here's what happened to me. She goes, Jesus came to me in a, and I'll say it's a vision because it was so vivid and I'll never forget it. And he put me on a train with him that was going very, very fast. And all of a sudden he reached over and grabbed my feet and was hanging me upside down. And it was like he dipped me down into the fire pits of hell. It was a fire pit. And he was saying, you have a choice. You have a choice. What are you going to do? And I'm like, oh, wow. I never really believed there was a hell. So maybe there is. But, you know, I can't really say there is because I sinned. Not that bad. But I mean, I sinned and I should have went to a hell according to my religion, but I didn't. So I don't know.
Yeah, I see. I think there's a lot of stuff that people think you're going to go to hell for when.
Right.
And yeah.
But here's the thing about that. If Jesus died for everyone, which he did, how could he point a finger and say, you killed somebody, you raped somebody, you did this, you're going to hell. I think that what I believe from that is that everyone goes to heaven, but his hell will be, oh, he came back as a worm in the dark on the earth. He's a worm. There was actually a neurologist from Virginia who had a near-death experience, and he came back as a worm in the earth. And then he progressed to different levels in his book. And his book is called Proof of Heaven. Good book to read because that will explain the different levels that I'm talking about. It didn't happen to me, but it happened to him. And I believe a story, you know.
And then so he started off as a worm and then?
And then went to different levels, describing in his book the different levels he went to. It was kind of like, it's like you're in school and you're taking class 1 through whatever, you know, until you graduate and learn what you're supposed to learn. And if you don't, I believe you come back in this life again as someone else or something else, you know?
Yeah. And then if you pass, you sort of go to heaven.
Right. If you pass, you can stay in heaven. Okay. Right. That's just my belief. I've found a few people who believe the same way. It's called reincarnation. And
You know. Yeah. Well, you seem like a very positive person because you've obviously had some bad stuff happen to you in your life. And now you've sort of turned it all around. And you're writing your book. So we're coming near the end now. So we're going to talk about more about yourself and like talk about your book.
That's okay. No problem.
And then,
So I turned
speak
my
to us about that. And then you can.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, speak about yourself in that sort of way.
Okay. Well,
and then tell people as well where they can get your book and everything from.
Oh, sure. Okay. This is mostly this podcast to me is about helping other people because, I went through many bad, horrible events, very traumatic. I mean, I was assaulted twice badly by a group of girls in a gang, and I was hurt the worst, and I didn't do anything to deserve it, but it happened. I mean, I was raped. I had abuse from my father all my life. My mom and dad fought horribly bad physically, mentally, and verbally all my life. So then I find out my family's not my family. All the relatives disappeared and I have another family. And it's just so many traumatic things, kids kidnapped, you name it, everything that's happened. Now I have a death in the family with a grandchild that happened too. So when I had the second experience with the visiting minister, that's the one that did the trick. You would think that the one in heaven would have lasted forever as far as changing me for the better. But, you know, when you go through stuff like that, you're human. And when you go through stuff like kidnappings of your children and death of your grandchild, you're still human. You're going to feel it. You're going to go through the grief, even though I know where they're at, you know, in heaven. It still hurts that they're not here. And I like to try to help people as much as I can. So I went to college in my early 60s and I took mind, body, spirit, holistic courses, the life coaching, hypnotherapy, ministry, and all of those things helped me first to release my trauma, drama, negativity. And then I would get clients of the same nature and I would help them. And that's what I've been doing. I'm a card reader, a published author of the books called Visions from Above, My Journey, My Destiny by my pen name, Amy Jameson. You can find it on barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com. And, it's a quick read. It's 200 pages or less. So it's just about 40 years of events of things I saw before they happened and other weird things that happened around me as a result, I think, of my near-death experience. and The Dark Entity. It talks about all of that. But I do offer introductory $10 card readings where you hold a question in your mind, but you don't tell me the question. You're going to get the answer from heaven, and I'm going to be the tool they use. And then hypnotherapy, my specialty is helping you find your life purpose, or you want to release yourself of pain, weight loss, whatever it is, I help with that. I'm offering $50 introductory session for that. So I hope that my story can help a lot of people and know that there is a perfect world in heaven and that we all get there. I don't know what level you'll be on, I guess, depending on what you've done in your life or not done. But I even believe that people who don't believe, when they're passing, if they just say, "I believe you, Jesus," then they're going to go to heaven.
Well, that's a brilliant way of ending it.
Yes.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on.
I'm helping other people. That's what helps me. I'm depressed all the time since the death of my granddaughter, great-granddaughter. But I'm like, you know, if I get on here and I start talking on podcast and or I call people and respond to them and talk to them and hear their troubles, there are so many people with just one incident. Some of them can be worse than mine. So I get the clients of the things I've been through. I think that's a God thing right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, Amy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No worries. Well, you take care of yourself.
Okay. Thank you. And you have a great evening.